perhaps the sound waves emitted from these stations have gone all the way into space. And it's the year 4745, and some distant alien planet is, this is their first introduction to Earth, the way sound travels, the light years that it went. If it is someone's first introduction to Earth, let me just say, on behalf of humanity, help! Save us! What's taking you so long? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The big topic around these playoffs, now that we're down to the final four in the NBA, is parity. There's going to be, for the first time ever in the NBA, seven different champions in a row. Going back to 2019, it was Raptors, Lakers, Bucks, Warriors, Nuggets, Celtics, and it will be one of the Knicks, Pacers, Thunder, or T-Wolves. Seven different champions, seven different years. That doesn't seem like it should be the first time in a row. You know, if we're dating back all the way to, it was called the NBA in 1950. It started as the Basketball Association of America back in 1947. It shouldn't be where seven different times in a row there's seven different champions. Let's just look at random times throughout the history of the NBA. Let's start with 1950, okay? I'll give you 7 years. Lakers, Rochester Royals, Lakers, 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 Syracuse Nationals, Philadelphia Warriors. Okay. Let me go to 1959. Here we go. Celtics, 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 Celtics. Oh, my goodness. All right. Where's a time where we might get a little bit of a mix-up? Ooh, 1969. Celtics, Knicks, Bucks, Lakers. Knicks, Celtics. Okay. Where might else we get some good mix-up? Let's go to 1980. No. Celtics, Lakers, Celtics, Lakers, Lakers. Pistons, Pistons. Now we're in the 90s. Bulls, Bulls, Bulls. Rockets, Rockets. Bulls, Bulls, Bulls. Spurs, Lakers, 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 Spurs, Pistons, Spurs, Heat, Spurs, Celtics, Lakers, Lakers, Mavericks, Heat, Heat, Spurs, Warriors, Cavs, Warriors, Warriors. And then we get to this. Raptors, Lakers, Bucks, Warriors, Nuggets, Celtics, TBD. This is a league that, well, first and foremost, the structure of the league back when the Celtics were winning or the Lakers were winning in the 50s is there wasn't free agency. You had a good team. You're able to dominate with that team. The Celtics, may I also remind people, as it doesn't seem to be common knowledge, some of these Celtics teams that won the championships, let's say 1962, there were eight teams in the league. Nine. Okay, so it wasn't the competition that you're getting today. And then we get into an era where super teams were the draw. You know? Sure, there was the Jordan run, which I think him singularly alone is a big part of it. But David Stern wanted super teams. You got super teams. You had the Spurs dominance. You had the Warriors emerge and then be dominant with the Cavs. Four straight years, you knew what the final was going to be every single time. You just knew. And this is partly because of the new collective bargaining agreement. Not entirely. The old collective bargaining agreement kicked in. That's how we got some of those Warriors titles. And then Kawhi Leonard is finding his way to the Raptors. And then the Lakers, this is... you know, a pandemic happened to allow this to be some sort of change as well. Let's not forget about that. And then the Bucks, you know, they have Giannis and he takes them. And then the Warriors figure back out. And then Jokic is with the Nuggets. Celtics last year had been building a good team. But when are the Celtics going to get back? Like, I think we're at a spot right now because of the collective bargaining agreement. What it's done is it penalizes teams or restricts teams from continuing to dominate. Once they've had success, it's hard. It's going to be hard for a lot of these teams. We've talked about this week, last week. It's hard. Where are the Cavs going to add pieces? How are the Nuggets going to add pieces? You got the Celtics that are in some trouble too, but now they've got Jason Tatum hurt. Milwaukee can't do anything. That's why talk of trading Giannis actually has to be a rational conversation, because they're stuck. They don't have picks, and they can't do really anything financially. And if you get to this point where you're just short, it's going to be hard to come back. You got to, like, have this perfect little run. Now, the Thunder have a lot of draft picks, so they're able to set themselves up, and that looked very forward-thinking and very genius. The Timberwolves, you know, Knicks, Pacers got some room. But it's going to be hard. If you don't get there, it's going to be hard to get there again. Conference finals, you know, Timberwolves are back in. Pacers are back in. So there's some familiarity. But we're going to get a seventh new champion in seven different years. And these are teams that haven't won before. And the one team that has is the Knicks. And you got to go back to 1973. If you ask a random NBA fan, hey, when's the last time the Knicks won a title? I mean, they may think like, I don't know, 90, when? 73? Good God. It's 50 years ago. Longer. My goodness. The Timberwolves have never won. The Pacers have never won. Now the Thunder have never won. The Supersonics have. And from what I understand about that is the Supersonics won in 1979, and that history is currently with the Thunder. But if the Supersonics come back, if a team comes back in Seattle, it will be the Supersonics. The Thunder would then give the history to them. So right now, they're not treating it like the Sonics ended and the Thunder began. Now, the Thunder don't wear that championship patch. You can wear a championship patch, just a little gold patch on your top of your jersey. If you've won, they don't wear that. They're not recognizing that, because the Oklahoma City Thunder have never won a championship. So right now, how it's recognized is that the Seattle Supersonics moved to Oklahoma City in 2008, and it's one franchise. But if the Seattle Supersonics ever come back via expansion, then what we'll say is, all right, the Supersonics were a team that played until 2008, were defunct for however many years, and then came back. And then that title will go back with them. And then the Oklahoma City Thunder will now be treated as if they were an expansion franchise in 2008. Is it unnecessary? Well, yeah. Well, let's not be moving teams then. Let's be saving ourselves here from all of this nonsense. Also, parity is here in the NBA, because if you look, if the NBA has been around for 75 years, 80 years, you've got 35 championships belonging to two teams, with the Lakers and the Celtics, and another seven to the Warriors. We're at half. So I think it's good to see, you know, you can ask the question, is this good for the NBA? I think it is. it works for the NFL, and then we had a kind of a dynasty there with the Chiefs. But parity is good. It's good that Oklahoma City is hosting a Western Conference final. It's good that a team like, even though they're in big city New York, this is a starved fan base. It's good that they're getting some results here. It's good that Indiana, which has long been known as the basketball state, it's good that they're having success. It's good that Minnesota, who has just experienced so close but not close enough in all of their teams, and maybe that's going to happen again, but it's good that they're this far. It's good. It is good. The Cavs and Warriors, like, it just was, it was a lot. It was 4 years of the same thing. And like I said, you didn't even have to play out the season. You knew what the championships were going to be. Thunder tonight get a 114-88 victory over the Timberwolves. Four guys in double figures for the Thunder. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander leading the way with 31. Just two guys in double digits for the Timberwolves. Julius Randle, 28. Anthony Edwards, 13 shots. That after he does need to shoot more, he had 18 points. He actually said, "I need to effing shoot more." So we're not going to play that for you. Game two will be coming up on Wednesday. And the Thunder have a 1-0 lead. They're at home. They just played Sunday. This could have been the opportunity for the Timberwolves to steal one, but it was not. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he was there when they needed him. He's going to be the MVP. At some point, he will get the award. I don't know what the NBA is waiting for. He talked about his 31-point night.
Yeah, it's always a chess match out there. You go out there, you have a base coverage, you have something that you want to start with. Then you see how the game goes, and then you just read and react and adjust from there. They make a move, you make a move. Like it's back and forth, and it's going to be like that throughout the series. They're a really good team. They'll make adjustments. They'll get better for sure. We have to continue to get better as well.
He shot the ball a lot, 27 times, made just 10, however, but he was relatively efficient at the stripe. 11 of 14, took four threes and was not able to connect on them, but got volume up, and so he was able to end the night with 31 points. Jalen Williams with 19, Chet Holmgren 15, Isaiah Hartenstein with 12. Head coach Mark Daigneault after the game. This was an interesting game because it was a slog in the beginning. It was Minnesota being physical. It was Minnesota this first quarter. It was 23-20, and then at halftime, it's 48-44. I wouldn't have thought that Oklahoma City was going to end up with 114 points as they had a 70-point second half. But coach, after the game, talked about how before we could get our offense going, we had to rely on our defense.
Play as poorly as we did offensively in the first half and be down four was a major victory for us at halftime. And the defense was a huge catalyst in that. But this team is really up the floor and pressuring and really after you. And so I just thought it took us a second to calibrate to the opponent. But our defense allowed us the margin to do that, obviously.
It's a 1-0 series lead for the Thunder over the Timberwolves, 114-88 for game one. Now, where the Thunder had 70 points in the second half, the Timberwolves had less than that with 40. Chris Finch, head coach Timberwolves, on the struggles in that second half.
There are a lot of good shots out there. I think, we got to clean things up a little bit. Sometimes the passes were late. Sometimes we weren't quite shot ready. Sometimes we need to turn them into other plays, But I did think that we got a number of really good looks, and we really couldn't connect when the game was kind of turning against us.
Julius Randle tonight, he's been really good in the playoffs. His numbers better in the playoffs by about 5 points than they were in the regular season. He led the way tonight with 28 points. He was 5 of 6 from three. He was knocking down a lot of those early in the night. But ultimately, while he had a good night shooting, the rest of his team did not. he talked about the Thunder's defensive efforts in this one.
I don't really think they did anything different other than just trying to run me off the three-point line a little bit. I mean, that was really the only thing different. I mean, that defense is the same. They're penny gaps, you know, boxes and elbows. So I don't really think they did anything different. You know, they just tried to get me off the three-point line, off my catch and shoots, and I mean, that was it.
One stat to look at in this one is regarding the three-point shot attempts. Oklahoma City only took 21 threes, and they made 11 of them, 52%. Minnesota put it up 51 times and made just 15. Naz Reid was 0 for 7. Nikhil Alexander-Walker was 2 for 9. Dante DiVincenzo was 3 for 12. Anthony Edwards, 3 for 8. So that, I mean, they lost by 26 points, so they would have needed a lot of those to go in, but that a big shot selection maybe portion of why tonight happened the way that it did. Timberwolves came in having beaten the Lakers, having beaten the Warriors. Yes, Steph was hurt, but winning both series in five, did they come in overconfident, Julius Randle?
No, I don't think we're overconfident. I think we were rusty. You know, this is not the team to be overconfident versus. They're a championship team. They have championship DNA. We've said that from the beginning. So if we want to win this series, we're going to have to, you know, take every game seriously. We're going to have to win every game. You know, it's not going to be handed to us. So we know who they are and what they're about from top to bottom. And, you know, we just got to continue to, you know, put ourselves in a position to win because they're not going to beat themselves.
Game two on Wednesday night. Again, I don't think the Timberwolves absolutely, positively need to win this game. It would help. I think they can still win without it. But they have to show a better effort. They have to show that they can play on the Thunder's level. Timberwolves have not lost a lot since March 1st. They've really only lost like three times. This is just the third loss since the playoffs began, and they came in on a hot streak. So they're a team that's been hot. They're a team that's been able to, you know, rebound if they have a blip. Thunder are a different animal, though. You know, the Lakers still trying to figure out how to play with each other. The Warriors lost Steph Curry after 13 minutes. The Thunder have built themselves for this moment. So they're going to have to respond, and they're going to have to put a much better effort out there than they did on Monday night. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We could talk this series. We could talk NBA and parody. We could talk if you're lonely. I'm here. We'll come on back with more. It is the Bart Winkler Show. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, Infinity Sports Network. You can find us on the Odyssey app, free to listen to and free to download in the first place. No paywall. Everything I've ever done, every piece of content I've ever created, different radio stations, this podcast, messing around on my YouTube, it's all free. It's all free. My content's probably not good enough to charge you for, but still, it's all free. I give it to you for free. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We got a few of our buddies on the line. Let's get to Barry in Boston. Oh, the greatest phrase in all of radio right there. What's up, Barry?
Oh, God. How are you, brother?
Good. How are you, man?
Since I've been on hold, you talked about a lot of things.
Yeah, well, so, why don't you talk about your thing?
My thing is whatever your thing is, and you talked a lot about the NBA, but before that, we did Brazil, your friend, whoever the Green Bay Packer fan was, Green Bay Packer player was, got hurt in Brazil, which was terrible for you. So do you want to talk about that, or do you want to talk about the NBA?
You called
boss.
You are the boss. Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to hold your hand on phone calls. You called.
You got that,
I don't
brother.
Want options. I don't that. Want a menu. You just call and give it to me. Give me what you got, right. And we'll go from there. You lead this all dance.
Right. I'm going to give you what I got. So, Miami, the Bruins captain left the Bruins, and he went to Miami, and he's playing hockey. The Bruins stink, suck. They're terrible. And now Brad Marchand is still playing hockey, and I love it. He beat Carolina tonight, and I hope he wins the Stanley Cup as a Miami. What Miami?
They're called the Florida Panthers. Florida Panthers.
Florida Panthers. Yeah, Miami Panthers. Yeah. So I want them to win the Stanley Cup with him raising the Stanley Cup over his head. It would be phenomenal. That would be
very
the best little except for me and you going to the Brazil next year. No, sorry, not next year. This year in September. Because me and Carlos are going, so.
On what other platform would a guy be able to just get on and slur his words as aggressively as you are right now?
I'm not slurring anything.
Barry, you are talking at like 0.25x speed. Pick up the pace, cowboy.
The Cowboys? You want to talk about the Cowboys? No, I don't want
to. No, I got to go. I got to talk to more
everybody
friends.
Everybody will fall asleep.
We got more friends.
Everybody will fall asleep. If we talk
I'm
about the Cowboys, they'll all fall asleep.
I don't even remember. I don't even remember a period in my life where I wasn't on this phone call.
Oh, you despise the Cowboys. I know everybody does, and I love the Cowboys.
Oh, I shouldn't have said Cowboys. All right, Barry.
Jones,
Barry, all right. Love you, too. Love you, too. I shouldn't have called him Cowboy. I didn't even make the connection. Jim is in Cleveland. Jim.
Hi, Bart. Good to hear your voice.
Good to be heard. What's up?
Wanted to wish the rest of the country greetings from Northeast Ohio. And I wanted to see what you thought about the Cavs. And I've been hearing a lot of negativity about Jared Allen. And admittedly, he did have an off series. But I wouldn't blame him for it. When Darius Garland couldn't even walk. And I wanted to see what you thought about that, if that's what you're hearing in the rest of the country, too.
About Jared Allen?
Yeah.
Well, so, Jim, that was a tough series for him. Just looking at the last two games, 2 points? He had one shot. Free throws. Then the next game, game five, 9 points. Game four, he had 2 points. Game five, 9 points. Look, he plays down low. He's a big man. I think he's much more athletic and offensively gifted than Brooke Lopez, the guy, or at least at this point of their careers. But Brooke Lopez, I can tell you, for the Bucks, became unplayable, really, against Indiana. They just do a good job of taking away guys of those kind of skill sets. The Indiana Pacers are tough. I don't know if it's a Jared Allen issue or if it's a, you know, the Pacers are just a tough matchup for a guy like that.
Like Jared had a 70% free throw average and 70% field goal average, which is like either never been done or only done once. I can't remember. But offensively, he was pretty amazing in the regular season. And I know that's not the playoff season, but I think he's getting a bad rap.
Yeah, and we'll see how things work out. I know that, Jim, thanks for the call. He's one of these guys that, are we going to trade him? Are we not going to trade him? Every team's got, you know, one or two of those guys. Are we going to trade him? Are we not going to trade him? The Bucks to bring them up again. Bobby Portis every single year. You're going to trade him? You're not trade him? You trade him? And they never do. So we'll see. Cavs are kind of in the Cavs. Like, it's not going to be easy for a team like Cleveland to add. Now they're going to have to hope that what they have is good enough to get back there. But again, while the Pacers have been able to beat teams thanks to a little thing called injury luck, they also beat up on the Cavs. I don't think of all the teams the Pacers have beaten in the playoffs last 2 years, the Cavs probably have the least. Like, hey, we were hurt. You also got beat. They got you. Which gives me some fear as a non-Pacers fan or a Pacers non-fan that they might be able to do their work on the New York Knicks as well. Mark is in California. You ready for the game, buddy boy?
Listen, me and you are going to be breathing it together because obviously, you know, we both have that hatred for, you know, these Indiana Schmacers. So
at least if you're a Knicks fan, here's what sucks for me. If you're a Knicks fan, you get joy out of it too. I'm going to be miserable if the Pacers win any of these games without the outlet of getting joy for my team winning.
If the Thunder take care of Minnesota, like I think it's going to happen, and if we lose, I'll have joy in knowing that the Thunder just kicked that Pacers ass. So, I mean, that would be the only, you know, downside. But I've been all I can think about is Knicks. I mean, I wake up, I breathe Knicks, I go to the bathroom, I think Knicks, and texting my wife, I'm like, hey, what about the Knicks? And like anybody, like you could tell me your grandma died right now, and I'll be like, oh, that's horrible that she didn't get a chance to see Jalen Brunson on the basketball court. Like that's all I think about is just like, this is because it's the closest, you know what I mean? And I'm on Instagram and I'm on, you know, TikTok and all that stuff, just watching. And like, all I see on my feed, it's like, they know my brain or something, Bart. It's like, oh, Knicks got lucky. Paul Pierce came out and said, oh, you beat a injured Celtics team. I mean, Porzingis, he's a nobody, but I mean, supposedly Jaylen Brown was playing with meniscus and then Tatum. But remember, Tatum went down. We were up 12 with 8 minutes left when he went down. I think 4 minutes, actually, if I'm mistaken. So we were up 3-1 on Boston, right? It's not like we just beat an – like, you talk about Indiana. We took them to 7 games last year, Bart, without Cat, OG, Mitchell Robinson, Bojan Bogdanovic, Josh Hart, freaking – Brunson breaking his hand, playing on broken ankle. Like, bro, we took him to 7 games. Now we're healthy with Cat.
Well, you better stay healthy. Stay healthy.
Yeah, man. And listen, Indiana's rebounding. I don't know if you know who the Knicks' best player on the court is, but it's Mitchell Robinson. This guy is like, he's not unbelievable. True. You what's crazy about Mitchell, and I'll give you a little stat real quick. Mitchell Robinson is the only player in NBA playoff history to average almost a full possession per offensive bucket, which means he's on average getting 5 to 6 offensive rebounds, but then he's swatting like 4 or 5 towards the other team, right? Towards the other Knicks that are getting it. So we're getting with him on the court an extra 8 to 10 extra possessions. We lead the league, not just in the regular season, but in the playoffs, with extra possession. That's how we're going to beat him. Yeah.
Well, good. Hey, good luck. Have fun. I'm sure, Mark, I look forward to hopefully hearing good news from you tomorrow. Look, I'm sorry to be so biased, but also I'm not. I don't like them. Indiana. They beat my team the last 2 years. They made me feel sad. I feel like it's okay to convey that. Plus, it's 1 a.m. We're all in our feelings right now anyway. Anthony's in Boise. Talk to me, Anthony.
All right. We had the update about Ashton Gentry earlier, and they were talking about his Michael Myers stance, right?
Yeah. Does that help him? What's the deal?
Okay. Well, Chip Kelly said that he had an example or whatever. I'm going to try and be quick with it, but he had the example of him playing basketball, and if he was on defense in basketball, what kind of position he would be in. and Ashton Jeanty gotten the defensive stance, you know, like how an average running back would be getting ready to grab the ball. But the difference is you're not guarding somebody with the ball when you're a running back in the backfield. You're standing next to a quarterback who doesn't have the ball. So you can be standing straight up, and then by the time the quarterback gets the ball snapped, you're standing over in the running back stance and going. It's just something he does to get relaxed and to get comfortable. It's not really something that he is – it's not the stance that he is in when he's taking the ball from the quarterback. So it's not really any different than any of the other running backs in the league. And plus, he led the college last year doing it, so I don't see how it's going to be so much of a problem for him to be standing straight up in the backfield.
Yeah, it just seems like thanks for the call and insight. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, but, you know, these football coaches, man, football coaches, they know so much more than us. Football coaches are basically like, imagine if football coaches use their knowledge for good, like to cure diseases or take us to Mars. But they're so smart. They just call X's and O's and tell guys when to stand and how to stand a certain way. And they've forgotten more football than I'll ever remember. They know more football in their pinky. I don't know what that's supposed to mean when you say that, but that's what they do. They have more football. I got my brain, and then a football coach's pinky. And there's more football knowledge in his pinky than there is in my brain. It's amazing. Because these are guys that get jobs for the most part because of their dad or their dad's friend, and then fail upwards a lot and get rehired by their buddies and continue to just dominate the knowledge of a game that is impenetrable for us to we can't know what they know. And when we get close, sometimes we get close, right? We're talking about red zone football, red zone stats. And Red Zone Channel, and then all coaches like got together in their little cabal, and they said, we're calling it the red area now, or it's a red area, because we're smarter. We know more about this than these guys. These guys with their analytics and their nerds, and yeah, we'll check the mock drafts, and that's going to help us who to pick, but screw those dorks. Yeah, so they know what they're doing. You trust them. Anytime a football coach tells you to do something, I do it. I mean, I would walk into oncoming traffic if he told me, hey, it's going to be okay. You're not going to get hit. There will be a seam. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get an update. It's Marco Belletti. Smack dab in the middle of the playoffs, conference finals, the Thunder beating the Timberwolves tonight to go up 1-0 in the Western Conference Finals in the NBA. The Panthers beating the Hurricanes 5-2 in the Eastern Conference Finals in the NHL. So we'll close the show with some talk here in the middle of May about college football. Look, I just might disagree with a lot of people on this. I don't mind the big-time games sometimes happen at noon Eastern. This is a problem once again because Fox last week at its, hey, here's what's coming up next year event, said they've got week one huge game, Texas and Ohio State. It will be on Fox. All right. And Fox's premiere window is noon, big noon kickoff into big noon Saturday. Games at Ohio State, Texas coming to town. This is a big one. Big game. And Fox puts their big games at noon because over the years, they tried big games in the middle of the afternoon, but the SEC on CBS dominated. They tried games at night, but they got dwarfed. Nobody's watching them. Everyone's watching the big game on ABC. And then if there's a Notre Dame game, NBC. So Fox is like putting games on that nobody's watching. So they're like, you know, we noticed that people have started to avoid noon and go later in the day. So let's go back to noon. 11 a.m. Central, 10 Mountain, 9 Pacific. Now, yeah, if you're on the Pacific, if you're on Western time, Pacific time, you wake up right away, it's game. which I think sounds sweet. But we want the primetime games. We want the games under the lights. And Ohio State is so mad because, like, all their games end up being played. If it's on Fox, it's at noon. They played at noon their last six games of the season. Nebraska, at Penn State, Purdue, Northwestern, that was on Big Ten, Indiana, and Michigan. And the Indiana-Ohio State game was big, and the Michigan game obviously is big. Now they always put that at noon. And Penn State fans were mad because they wanted that under the lights for a whiteout. You can make a big-time atmosphere at noon the same that you can at night. Prime time, under the lights, main event. I get that it's maybe more just naturally a bigger feel, but you can get there. People are so mad in Ohio about this that one of the Ohio representatives presented a bill outside of the rivalry game with Michigan. It would prevent a game from beginning before 3:30 p.m. when a state university is involved. So they're trying to get a ban. They're trying to make a law. I'll get there. They're trying to make a law to make sure Ohio State can't play at noon. If you break this proposed law, it's a $10 million fine against the host team's conference or the television network, depending on who scheduled the game. So this is not going to pass. This is a stunt. That's why I'm not saying Dork's name that proposed it, because then he's chopping it up online. I almost like tried to fight with him. I don't think noon games are that big of a deal. And this is the bed you made. This is the bed you made when you, college football, decided to let your whole sport, the whole future of your sport, be dictated between two TV networks, ESPN and Fox. ESPN has long worshipped the SEC, overcovered the SEC, sort of pretended like the ACC mattered until they got the SEC rights. Now ACC, they don't care about. Fox is doing the same thing with the Big 12 because they're all in on the Big 10. And if you're going to have the late window on ABC and the SEC window as well in the middle of the afternoon, Fox has nowhere to go but earlier in the day. Some people are so staunchly against the idea of a football game being played on a college campus at noon that it stuns me that they put this much effort into it. Now, conversely, I'm putting that much effort into saying it's okay, but that's not what this is about right now. So you got to wake up and you get less time to tailgate. Do we need to be getting up at 8 a.m. and drinking until sunset? Is that what this is? You want to sleep in before you have to go to the game to do your drinking? I mean, what is this? Maybe I think back fondly at college when we would go to Madison for the Badger games and we would get up. We would get up at 7. We're in college. You set your alarm. You get up. Maybe you didn't even sleep. And you party, and then you go to the game. And then guess what you do? You go home and take a nap. And then you get back up and you party some more. That's how it should be done. Oh, but I want to play under the lights. Well, then put a roof on your stadium and turn the lights off or turn the lights on. It's stupid. Introducing bills. Anytime like lawmakers do this, they should be immediately removed. Oh, well, this should be a day where you shouldn't play a double. What are you doing? There are like real problems that real people have. Fix those and give me my big time games at noon. Thank you. Thanks to Marco Belletti Thanks to Connor Armstrong. Thanks to you. Pat Boyle coming up next. This has been, and always will be, the Bart Winkler Show.